Major League Baseball has started its season. Yes, today, Wednesday, you may not fully be aware the season started, but Dodgers, Padres taking place in Seoul, South Korea as part of the Seoul series. Two games this week before the game start in the U.S., opening day in the U.S. next Thursday. You also have two play-in games for the women's basketball tournament tonight, Wednesday night, in Blacksburg, Virginia. And I have to say, the talk and interest around the women's tournament is more than the men's. And of course, it starts with Caitlin Clark, but there are also some great storylines around the University of South Carolina, rivalries with the likes of LSU and Notre Dame. There are a lot of storylines on the women's side. The men's tournament just doesn't seem to have those stories so far this year. But again, that's why we'll watch the games and see how both tournaments play out. And this is your Morning Buzzcast for Wednesday, March 20th. Good morning, I'm Abe Madcor. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. Let's stay with college sports. The ACC facing more pressure from within its own ranks, as Clemson filed a lawsuit against the ACC on Tuesday. The suit is largely about the relationship between the schools and the conference, as Clemson argues that the ACC's fee to exit the conference is unenforceable, and that the ACC should not own Clemson's broadcasting rights if the school were ever to leave the conference. So when it comes to the exit fee, Clemson wants the ACC's exit fee, which is estimated at a massive $140 million, ruled as unenforceable. And Clemson did say it has not given notice that it is leaving the ACC, and they say they remain a member of the conference. But this is certainly not a good sign, and this is the second suit filed by an ACC institution. Remember, Florida State filed against the ACC in December. On Tuesday, Conference Commissioner Jim Phillips just reiterated his belief that the courts will uphold the agreement between the conference and its members, but certainly some tense, unsettled territory within the ACC's ranks right now. Staying with college sports, ESPN officially announced a six-year extension worth $7.8 billion to continue to broadcast the college football playoff. And this new deal keeps the CFP on Disney through the 2031-2032 season. Now remember, the network's current agreement was set to expire after the 2026 final game. So this new agreement will pay the CFP and participating conferences $1.3 billion a year. Now, it does allow ESPN to sublicense a select number of games to other networks. What does that mean? Well, it means they could sell off early round games. But the market is really undetermined about how appealing those games, likely first round games, would be to prospective suitors. So we will have to see the marketplace for those. I've heard from plenty of sources who feel those games would not be very appealing to many broadcast or streaming partners. I still think the early round games, which will largely be played on college campuses, still should be appealing. The bottom line, though, is that the CFP's work, a long, long journey, is largely done for now. And we know what the CFP will look like for the next few years. Interesting details about possible changes in the tennis world, as USTA CEO Lou Scheer has assumed leadership of the Grand Slam's push for a premier tour. So he has presented the vision for a totally reimagined tennis calendar to owners of the Master 1000 events and chairs of the ATP and the WTA. And so he told SBJ, one concept being discussed is a 16-event premier global tour that would consist of four Grand Slams and 10 combined 10-day-long events, also an international competition, and a year-end finals. There would also be a contender tour in tennis, which would consist of lower level events where players would compete to get placed on the Premier Tour the following year. And you're seeing a sense of promotion and relegation here that could come to tennis. There would also be a traditional set off season ranging from 8 to 12 weeks. So when looking at the calendar, it's obvious there are two factors. They're trying to give players more consistent time off to think about player health. They also want to present, I would say, tennis in a more clear and relatable way to tennis fans. And they think they could do that by a 16-event premier global tour. Now, there is no timeline on what's next. And this plan is separate from the offer by Saudi Arabia's public investment fund to unify the ATP and the WTA. So that's a separate offer. This is another plan being proposed. Lou Scheer believes that this type of overhaul, this type of new calendar, could potentially be worth $1 billion of new annual revenue for the sport of tennis. So a lot of moving parts here. Very interesting, something we're going to have to keep our eye on. And there are some competing factors out there that make this very intriguing. Let's move on. A new report from Playfly Sports and Vision Insights shows that the NBA has the youngest and most diverse fan base of four major U.S. sports, NBA, MLB, NHL, and the NFL. The data shows that 56% of NBA fans were under 44 years old during the 2022-23 season, and 40% of fans were non-white. The NHL had the next youngest fan base with 54% of fans under the age of 44. Baseball's fans were the second most diverse. 39% of their fans were non-white. So data like this will surely come in handy as the NBA embarks on a new media rights agreement. They would love to showcase their fans as being young and diverse to any network or media partner. Let's end on some quick hitters. First, a big change in Buffalo as Pete Guelli has been named the new chief operating officer of the Bills and the Sabres. Of course, both of those teams owned by Terry and Kim Pegula. Pete Guelli will oversee the business operations for both teams. Now, this is kind of a return home. Pete Guelli was in Buffalo from 1998 to 2009, he oversaw business ventures for the Bills. After that, he came here to Charlotte, where I first got to know him. He was chief operating officer of the Charlotte Hornets. He joined the team as chief marketing and sales officer in 2009. And then in 2019, he went to New York and worked at the New York Giants. He was chief business officer of the Giants, and he was really tasked with modernizing the New York Giants business model and operations. So after a few years with the Giants, Pete Guelli going back to Buffalo, where he'll be chief operating officer of the Bills and the Sabres. Remember, the Bills moved on from former COO John Roth in October. And CSM Sports and Entertainment, a global agency that was acquired by Wasserman in October of 2023, has officially rebranded. It's rebranded to Wasserman, so all CSM Sports and Entertainment divisions will now be under the Wasserman brand name. And so that is your Morning Buzzcast for Wednesday, March 20th. I'm Abe Madcor. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. Stay healthy. Be good to each other. I'll speak to you on Thursday.